All right, Foreman and Manny asked the following question. Why is Purim called Purim? After all, it's a very strange name. We wouldn't generally name a holiday after the way that they tried to kill us. Right? You wouldn't name a war when the enemy used a particular gun. You wouldn't call it the holiday when we won by that gun. That just seems a little silly. Plus, poor, what does poor mean literally?
Lot,
agora. And it seems like the whole idea of Purim is against chance. So it's like it should be not Purim. That would make a lot of sense. Right? But to call it Purim is like very strange. So there's many beautiful answers. The Kedushas Levi has a beautiful answer. I know Aaron has a beautiful answer to this question. Rav Foreman has an answer I never heard before, but it's pretty mind-blowing. And it all comes back to another pivotal point in the Megillah. Okay, I believe it's in chapter 3. And Esther is hesitating. Should I come in front of King Ahasuerus? Should I not come in front of King Ahasuerus? If to defend the Jewish people, if she comes in front of Ahasuerus without asking permission, what's going to happen to her? What's she afraid?
She'll get killed.
Because anybody who comes in front of the king without permission could be killed. And so she tells Mordechai to take off that clothing of sack and afer and be practical, and I can't just come in front of the king. And at that point, Mordechai says something that is very counterintuitive, very the opposite. If you're Mordechai and you want to convince Esther to, defend the Jewish people, we really need you, what would you tell Esther?
If it's not you, we're going to be killed.
Right. Without you, we're dead. We need you. But instead, what does Esther actually say? Let me find it inside. Chapter 4. Okay, 4:14. Ve'egidi l'mordechai divrei Esther, v'yom mordechai l'ashiv el Esther, al tadami b'nafshech l'melet b'it ha'melech mikol yudim. Don't imagine you can run away from the Jews. If you're silent at this moment, salvation will come from another place. And you and your father will be destroyed. Not the Jews will be tabdun, but you. Who knows if it wasn't for this moment that you became a queen. So in other words, Mordechai's response to Esther is, do we need you, Esther?
No.
No, we don't need you. We'll be fine without you. Like, we're going to get saved regardless. So why should you do it? Why should you step up? You could look at it at that moment, but for herself. Like, you're going to get destroyed. It's going to look bad in the papers, when they report about how Esther didn't save you. We're going to be fine without you. But, like, you, Esther, it'll look really bad for you. Like, that seems kind of counterintuitive. Like, why not tell her we need you? What's Mordechai trying to do here by saying we don't need you? So what do you guys think? Why is Mordechai not just saying we need you? Yeah.
Maybe because the whole story about the Hebrew and then stepping on herself.
What do we got?
So at that moment, she doesn't, like, Esther shouldn't feel forced. She should just accept it by herself.
Like, she should have an act of free will, a free choice, not for being forced.
Like,
beautiful. Uh-huh. Like the option. I like it. It's very, very nice. Very good. Reformant has a different suggestion, which is awesome. The words hacharish tacharishi, in that double language, if you will be silent, only appears one other time in Chumash. Perhaps in all of Tanakh. I believe in all of Tanakh. And if we understand that place, you'll understand the meaning of this verse, okay? And then we'll understand Purim. So what is that? It's in an obscure set of laws in the book of Bamidbar, okay? You never would have thought this. It's in the book of the laws of vows. I believe it's in Bamidbar, Perek, Yudalit or Lama. Okay, while I find it, I'll tell it to you outside. So the law is like this. If you make a vow in Judaism, if you say, I'm going to commit yourself to something, you have to do it. If your wife makes a vow,
So then the husband has a certain ability to nullify her vow. Let's say she says she's going to fast. The husband can say, no, no, I cancel it. And she can cancel. He can cancel the vow. Or the husband can say, I affirm the vow. That's great. But there's also a third option. What's the third option? What a husband can do? He can do nothing. Okay? He can be silent. Okay? Now, how does the Torah call that silence? Anybody guess? Very good. They found it. So, v'im aferi aferotam isha b'yom shamo komot asvatel and derel isan afshal lo yakum isha haferam. A person can either mafer that, okay, can nullify it. Hashem yisachka la, that's one option. Or v'im acharish yacharish la, or you can be silent. Now, if that husband is silent, what happens to the law, to the vow? It's like he said yes. It's like he affirmed the vow. Because by your act of silence, it's like shtika kahoda'a, you let the vow go. Okay? Why is that? Because there's some times in life when by doing nothing, it's as if you're saying, you're letting it go. Okay? So now let's get back to Mordechai. What is Mordechai implying, or what is the Torah, what is the Megillas Esther secretly implying by using this language of im hachareish tacharishi to Esther, that by you doing nothing right now, Esther, it's not that you're just sitting back and not getting involved. What are you doing? You're essentially letting the king and Haman do what they want, and your inaction is an action. You are choosing to support Haman and Achashverosh by your inaction. There's no middle choice in this situation. It's either I'm going to act to save the Jews, or I'm going to basically act to destroy the Jews. By being in the middle, you are essentially aligning yourself with Ahasuerus and Haman. And that is the lesson that Mordechai is trying to impart to Esther. We're going to be saved regardless, but you will be... It will be a complete disgrace to your house because you're not acting neutrally right now. You're acting on the negative side. And there are many times in life when we have the same choice. Take, for example, agnosticism. Take the question of, do I believe in God or do I not believe in God? Do I believe in Torah and mitzvahs or do I not believe in Torah and mitzvahs? Many people will say, listen, maybe there is a God, maybe there's not a God. I want to take the smart path. You know, there's smart people on this side, smart people on that side. I'll be an agnostic, right? And I will say, I have never seen God, I've never spoken to God, therefore I'm not really sure if the Torah mitzvahs are true. What's the problem with that theory, with agnosticism? So William James argues that essentially in life, it's not like that, because you have to choose, am I going to create a life with a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu? Or am I not going to create a life relationship? By doing nothing, I'm essentially choosing not to create a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not to keep Torah and Mitzvot, right? There is, in that scenario, no middle ground. You're either with us or you're against us, right? As a great, as the expression goes, right? There are times in life when you have to choose. You can't just sit back and be silent, right? Take, for example, another example. Let's say... You're sick, and you got cancer, and one doctor says you have to operate or you're gonna die, and the other doctor says no, if you operate, you're gonna die, right? So you can't just sit back and relax. This is something of utmost importance. You're gonna go and find a third doctor, fourth doctor, to figure out what the right solution is. So too, when it comes to Torah mitzvahs, and so too Bezrat Hashem, or not Bezrat Hashem, but there will be times in life when we're going to have to make a decision, right? And by sitting back and ignoring that which is going on around us, we are essentially choosing through that inaction to align ourselves with the wrong side. We are choosing hacharish tacharishi at that moment, okay? So now with all of that background, we can understand in a whole new light Purim. Why do we celebrate the holiday of Purim? Why do we call it Purim? Maybe it's not just... from the Lashon of Pur, right? Because Pur was what Haman wanted to do to us. He wanted to make a goral. It's all random. It's all just happening. Rather, it's from a Lashon of Hafarim, Lo yakum isha hafarim, nullifying. Right? Instead of just letting it be random, you can choose to step to the plate and nullify whatever bad things are happening in our lives. Right? Of course, in Judaism, the main ways we do this is through tefillah, is through tshuva. Right? But perhaps one of the reasons we call it Purim is to allude to this concept that there are times in life when we can't be silent, we can't sit back and be neutral. We need to take a stand for what we believe in. So Bezrat Hashem, bless us as we come up to Purim, that we look deep inside ourselves, and ask ourselves, am I really stepping up to the plate, or am I being silent? And Bezrat Hashem, we should step up to the plate. We should fulfill our purposes in life. And Rebbe Chassela, we come to all the Yehudim. We should have an amazing time. See you guys next week.
Make an
Alamech if anybody did.